chords I don't know the song. This Christmas, I'm gonna have them all I can. Because
hello and welcome to the Sean L. Show Holiday Special. Intimate conversations about holiday hymns, jingle balls, and Christmas quarantine in New York City. My guests today are my beloved roommates, Mike and Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Holiday Special.
Oh, we're happy to be back. Very happy to be back on the Sean L. Show altogether, really.
Yeah, I know. It's been a weird year.
Well, you've had a massive season.
I guess, maybe a little.
Yeah, clearly. And you had so many awesome, amazing people on that I needed to make sure that my personality didn't overshadow anyone, so I took a step back from the spotlight.
Yeah. I understand. Is that why you haven't been on very
much?
That's
absolutely right. It's called respect.
I did a Q&A, and people were asking me where you had been.
Yeah, a lot of you have been asking, where am I?
I just stayed off as a out of solidarity.
Out of solidarity.
Not because anyone's asking.
It's the second most asked question I get. First, people are asking me about my skincare routine, mm-hmm. and then secondly, they're asking me, where's Mike and Aaron?
Perfect.
Yeah. You guys, I thought we would start, because it's the holiday podcast, mm-hmm. I thought we would start with a holiday joke. Are you ready for some holiday jokes?
I love holiday jokes.
Okay, great. Okay. Why does Santa always come through the chimney?
Why?
I don't know. Why does Santa always come through the chimney?
Because he knows better than to try the back door.
Anal.
I mean, if Santa's boyfriend douches, I'm sure it's fine.
No lumps of coal back there.
Yeah. Here's another one. What do all the female reindeer do when Santa takes all the male reindeer out to guide his sleigh?
What?
They go into town and blow more than a few bucks.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bestiality and oral.
Why doesn't Santa have kids of his own?
Why?
He only comes once a year.
Oh.
Oh, poor Mrs. Claus.
If anyone is still listening.
Yeah, if anybody's still listening after those jokes, you're in for a treat, because there's more content coming your way. All right. So we usually do at this part, we ask, you know, what are you listening to? So I wanted to dive in and see what was on your top Spotify Wrapped. Who were your top Spotify Wrapped artists? Does anybody have theirs up and jolly?
Yes. So... it should be very well known by now, every time this question comes up the podcast, that I still talk and answer this question, and I don't actually listen to anything of note. But, so everything that I am in my top 2020 is Chromatica or on a Sean L. Show playlist. That's it. So, Rain On Me is my number one, and then the next 1, 2, 3, 4 songs are also Chromatica. Then, Feels Like Summer, Coffee by Miguel, and The Wannabe Rework by Anna Stracker, which is on like several Sean L. Show playlists.
It's such a groove.
So I listened to it.
So what were your top artists then?
Let me hit the back arrow.
Aaron, repeating the original question for us. Aaron gets producer credits on this podcast.
I'll call y'all. I don't know. It doesn't work like that. I only have songs.
No, you don't. Hit the thing.
Well, while you look for it, I'll tell you my top artists. Number one was Dua Lipa.
Amazing.
I think because she came out with like 6 singles this year.
Yes.
I feel like she came out with a lot.
And they were all amazing.
Yeah, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Dua Lipa, then Lizzo, then Ariana Grande, then Harry Styles, and then Lady Gaga.
Okay. So you listen to a lot of Harry Styles. Do you like the last album?
I am loving Harry Styles. I like Harry Styles' style. I like his vibe. It's good in the background. It's good to sing along to. I like his music videos that are like storytelling and artsy.
Yeah.
I'm here for all of it. Yeah. All
right. My top artists, because I think Mike is still trying to find his. My top artists are, drumroll, Mariah Carey is number one.
Surprise.
Oh, yeah. I heard of her.
Yes,
she was big.
Yes. She's big this year with her memoir, The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Which did you like it?
I'm balls deep into The Meaning of Mariah Carey. I haven't finished it yet because all my free time has gone to this podcast since it came out. So I haven't had time to finish it, but every chapter I've read has been just great.
But it's like The Secret. Once you know it, you're going to tell us so we don't have to read the book.
No, I'm going to gift you the audiobook for Christmas.
Oh.
I do love a good audiobook.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Does she read it?
She reads it.
Ah, yes. Epic. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
How could you go wrong?
Yeah.
My number two artist, give me your phone. I'll find your top artist for you. My number two artist is Diana Ross.
Uh-huh.
She was number one last year, so she's fallen. And we are wishing her the best to get back to number one.
Don't tell her, because she wishes you a happy birthday every year.
No, that's not Diana Ross.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my number three artist is the artist that wishes you happy birthday every year, Gloria Estefan.
I'm sorry.
Tia Gloria. She had a new album this year called Brazil 305, which is her greatest hits reimagined in the style of Brazil, and it's so good. So I've been listening to that on repeat a lot. So you should definitely check that out. The number four artist of the year is Dua Lipa, just like you. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with her new music this year. I don't know anyone who has given us more during this quarantine besides doctors and nurses and scientists, honestly. Like, it goes doctors, nurses, scientists, Dua Lipa. I swear to God.
Let's ignore the fact that Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga all put out albums. You think more of Dua Lipa?
I make more singles, for sure. Yeah,
that's fine. I think, listen.
Yep.
And she's collaborated with everybody, too.
She's the one that puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
And my number five artist is Janet Jackson, who will always make the list somewhere or another. She was due to have a huge world tour this year. Brand new music and album, and just hit pause on it. Because obviously COVID. And I'm kind of okay with that because it's kind of weird. I'm really glad the artists that have released music because we need it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's weird to like be joyfully watching music when 300,000 people have died. So it's like this weird thing. Like, we need it to keep us in a good mind frame. But then it's weird to just keep pressing forward. I don't know. Everything this year is so fucking weird.
See, I think that's the power of music. Is to help you through these kind of times. Correct. So you're allowed to lean into that, and you're allowed to feel that way.
Correct.
That's what artists are for.
It's so interesting seeing artists do interviews now in our point in the pandemic, where they're like, some of them are grateful for their time to write music, and they said that they've been more creative because they've been isolated or stuck at home.
They're also rich, so isolated in a mansion.
No, the ones I've watched are they know they're
rich.
Well, they know their privilege, and they don't pretend like that's not a thing. Mm. They're not like, oh, I've been stuck at home in my mansion.
Not like Ellen.
Not like Ellen. But they're grateful for the dedicated time where they can just sit in a studio and write, because normally they're in press or like on tour or like doing a billion things at
once. That's why the sophomore album always sucks for most artists. Do you ever know that? Like, they always say that the second album is the hardest, because you had all these years before you were discovered and famous to write your first album.
Yeah.
And then you have to follow it up with something, and you're not used to that kind of writing cadence.
Right, because you're touring and promoting, and you're a thing now. Yeah.
Yeah, sophomore albums are hard to come by.
Who has the worst sophomore album? Can you think of any off the top of your head? I have one in mind.
I can.
Who do you want to say?
It is Kelly Clarkson. And I know you love her. But sophomore album after Breakaway, I think it was my December, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the one she fought with Clive about, because she wanted to be a rock emo girl.
And there are some bangers on it. There are some songs that I adore from that album, but in general, it's just so fucked up.
As a cohesive
piece of
work.
Yeah, it's just not.
Forgive me for not knowing, but the American Idol people, are they making their first album like while the show is doing press?
That's a great question, Aaron. So Kelly did have a series of singles released before Breakaway, like Miss Independent and some more poppy things. Moment like
were
this
they things that they had done on the show, or are they like separate things?
I might even be wrong on my Kelly Clarkson albums. Please, a super fan, school me later.
I have a super fan that listens to this podcast that's a super fan of Kelly Clarkson, and he will school you if it's wrong. Rob, if you're listening, that's for you. So mine is John Mayer, his second album, Heavier Things. It's just not as good as some of his other efforts. And then his third album, Continuum, is basically his opus. So he definitely fixed it. So he's mine. There are, again, there's some great singles. It's like they write, they know how to write for radio.
Sure.
So you get like some great singles like Clarity, Daughters is on Heavier Things, but as a piece of work compared to his other full length albums, it's not the same. Not the same.
Have you watched, side note, because one of the artists that I watched an interview with was the Billie Eilish one that she does with Vanity Fair every single year.
Yes.
It's the exact same questions, and it's the fourth year that she's done it.
Yes, I haven't watched 2020. How was it?
It was good. I mean, she's consistently good. A lot of her answers are the same, except she has 64 million followers now instead of 2 million she had at the beginning. But she was one of the ones that was like, I wrote 25 songs in like the course of a month with Phineas.
Yeah.
And she is only on her sophomore album. She only came out with one album, right?
I think this big one with Bad Guys, I think that was her second album. So I think she's heading into her third.
She was in my top artists last year.
Yeah.
She won Best New Artist, and so I'm assuming it'd be her first album. But people have won Best New Artist after like their fifth album sometimes. Yeah. It's very weird at the Grammys.
Well, they call them EPs at the beginning when they don't want to call them a real album.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. So now that did we go through your top five?
I thought I got rid of it by giving you sophomore album vibes, but that's fine.
No,
Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Troye Sivan.
Great.
Who I love. He's very important to me because he's also a big fan. He's also like he is a spokesperson for the company I work for. So he's one of the cool ones.
Calvin Klein.
Nice. Yes, Calvin Klein. And then I have number three, Dua Lipa. And then obviously the influence of Sean's playlists are creeping in. Number four is Jessie Ware. Number five is Diana Ross. And neither of these people would be on my top five.
I love Jessie Ware.
Diana Ross made it last year, too.
For me, yeah. You know what? It's interesting. Besides a lot of the musical theater that I listen to, we've been watching a new TV show. Old TV show. Mozart in the Jungle. It has a ton of classical music. My degree is in classical music. And it's crazy how much of the shit that I remember and can hear and I love and I listen to again. But when you live with other people in New York City and you marry someone who doesn't like love the genre, and then you have no time, you're in quarantine, I haven't listened to good classical music in probably 8 years. And it's like, maybe something I need to reconnect with.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Maybe I'll go to a concert once we're allowed.
That was like a real moment, like Alexis on Schitt's Creek, where she's like discovering herself. Yeah. I think you just had like a real like self-discovery moment.
It was your aha moment.
Yeah. It was an aha moment.
My music shouldn't be for other people's tastes. It should be for my own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here we go, 2021.
Unless you're playing it on Alexa in the living room, then you gotta meet us halfway.
So does that mean you're gonna stop playing Sean L. Show playlists?
Absolutely not. I love them. They're so ambiotic.
Yay.
Wait, is that the fluid or the ambiance?
Yeah, no, no. Oh, no, that's...
Ambiatic.
No, I don't know.
My angelic?
Embryonic.
No, that's the bad one.
Fuck, I don't know.
His playlists are not vaginal.
Can somebody that's straight tell us the answer?
What's the thing that births... is there a P word, too?
What's your next question?
Placenta. It's not. They're not placenta.
No.
No.
And they're not embryos.
No.
They're
Yeah, they have an ambiance.
They're ambient.
They're ambient. Yes, yeah. That's it.
Woo! We started recording at our second cup of, what are we drinking?
A little whiskey cider moment.
Love.
Amniotic fluid.
What is that? Is that what's in the placenta?
Is the protective liquid contained by the amniotic sac of a gravid amniote.
Birth juice.
It's the juice that's inside of the sac.
Oh, I'm going to be ill.
Yeah.
All right.
Someone's wrote about.
Sorry.
So when your water breaks, that's what's spilling out.
Okay. Okay.
Next question.
All right. So we touched on this a little bit, but who was the best music of 2020? Because so many artists still did release music.
Yeah.
Even though we were in this crazy time, we talked about.
Best new music.
Gaga. We talked about Jessie Ware. We talked about
Swift.
Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So. Who for you guys, I think Harry Styles came out this year too, who has been like the best music that has gotten you through this wild year?
Well, a lot of Harry Styles' singles came out in 2019, didn't they?
I think he had a new one this year. I'm going to look it up.
He had one.
So I think 2020 helped out Gaga because we were just so hard up for some fucking dance tunes and to live and to jump and to scream and to be gay. That I think that it made Chromatica better than it really is. There. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad. Lady Gaga, it is not bad. Stephanie, I'm behind you 100%. It's not your best.
I will not disagree with you. I will agree with you. I think it was a good climate for her. I think that it was smart of her to delay it by a few months.
Yeah.
And it was perfect when it came out. During the early months of quarantine, mm-hmm. I was stressed out. I was furloughed. I was eating a lot of pastries with our old roommate, Colin. Shout out to Colin. He was making delicious chocolate chip cookies mm-hmm. and also homemade like flatbread pizzas with like mushrooms and like fresh cheese. So that's what I was doing. And then I would get drunk because I was so stressed out from the plague that I would get drunk and also take an edible gummy so that I would just like float into sleep. And somewhere in between taking like a bottle of wine and an edible gummy and floating into sleep, I purchased for, I think, $20 or $30 a download of Chromatica and a Chromatica jockstrap.
Ah, yes.
And it took 5 months for it to arrive to the point that I forgot that I ordered it. But I did get it. I haven't even opened it yet because I'm too fat to wear jockstraps. Yeah, I'm too fat to wear jockstraps.
There are still gays waiting for their jockstraps. You consider yourself lucky. You're 2020 privilege.
I am 2020 privilege. One, first of all, because I didn't die of COVID. And second of all, because I did receive my Chromatica jockstrap, which if I lose 10 pounds, maybe I'll put it on.
I heard somebody say that they're super like cheap.
Oh, you haven't even looked.
You haven't even opened
it. Should website. I open it on the podcast? That maybe we could do an Instagram live at the end of this and I'll open the Chromatica jockstrap on the podcast. Anyway, I do love Chromatica. My favorite song on Chromatica.
911.
No, it's called Replay.
It was
on the Pride playlist last year. It samples Diana Ross, It's My House. Uh-huh. And I, being the huge Diana Ross fan that I am, I can't even believe I didn't notice that until it was pointed out to me. And now I can't unhear it. And it was my favorite song before. And now it's really my favorite song.
How do you feel about the Elton John duet?
It's weird. Yeah. I don't understand it. But musically, I like it.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It makes a better perfume commercial than it does a single.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Somebody that we haven't talked about yet that I'm really... I love their current album, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Good okay. music.
She's having a little bit of a moment in 2020.
I love the remixes, too.
Yeah. But I think, like, Slut Miley and Musician Miley are finding a balance and a yin and a yang in 2020.
Yeah.
And we're like all finally, really happy for it, and I'm loving the
starting
combo.
To make sense.
It's a very rock and roll, like, Pat Benatar kind of Miley.
And you know I love Pat.
But the Midnight Sky remix, that's like...
You love that one. I love that one. Mashup with, is it 17? What is that?
White-winged dove.
I think it's called 17. By Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. Well, Edge of Midnight and...
Edge of 17, I think is the...
Is that the actual title?
I think so. Somebody, again, will email us.
Stevie Nicks.
Yes. But yeah, every cover she was doing leading up to this album era...
Then she has one with Dua Lipa, too, though. Dua Lipa.
Has been so good that I was actually hoping she would surprise us and the album would be an album of covers. Because they were so fucking good. Her Britney Spears cover.
Phenomenal.
The Man Eater cover, which never made it to Spotify, which was on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know who is holding that up. Like, what rights need to get signed? But that was so good. Miley is definitely, definitely having a moment. The other artist that released this year that we should talk about is Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Because she put out a folk album.
She did.
What do we think?
I'll be really honest with you. I have my work wife, who I adore more than anything in the world, is a huge She Swift fan, and I really respect her for the fan stand that she is.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
She's not my fave. I love certain songs. I think she's a wonderful human. I think for the community, she's great. I love her female empowerment. I just don't always love all the music all the time. And this album, I listened to it, and it was like 45 minutes in. And I was like, when's the song going to change?
I feel like it's one giant song.
Oh, it
puts me to sleep.
It does. It has a little bit of a, like a vibe.
It's like a Starbucks coffee house album.
It's like exactly what it is.
It's like the XX with a real guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like, anyone? Okay.
I think
one vibe the whole time.
It is a little one note, but I think sometimes that's what folk is. I don't want to like throw that on the whole genre.
I'm sure someone who loves folk is going to now kill us.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do love folk, and there's a lot more to
I listened to Mumford and Sons once.
Oh, that to me, that's like a different kind of folk. That's like an upbeat folk.
Yeah.
Taylor's album is like
a
low key folk.
I love
so there's one song on the T-Swift album before we move on that I want to talk about. It's called The Next American Dynasty.
About her house in Rhode Island.
About her house in Rhode Island. Cool. And that to me is the highlight of the whole album because I just love hearing the story. It's a story about the woman who owned the house before her.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. And as somebody that grew up in Northern Connecticut.
Yeah.
We would always go to Rhode Island to vacation. So I know exactly where Taylor Swift's house is.
Oh, it's every teenager on TikTok knows where it is. That's for sure.
I vacation like steps from there. Like it's not in like a secluded area really. No. It's like really in
it's
main...
in Providence.
No, it's not in Providence.
It's next to the PPAC.
No. I used to live in Providence too. But it's really not like hidden away. It's just right on the beach. And so I know exactly where it is. And so that's exciting for me. And I love that kind of storytelling folk song.
Yes.
Folk is sort of where I find country because country is a little too like, I don't know, cowboy for me.
Twang a line.
Yeah. So folk is like where I enjoy like a good storytelling song because I do like folk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Another artist I want to talk about before we move on, this is probably the last one, but we just talked about it. Jessie Ware.
Yes.
Obsessed with Jessie Ware this year.
Yeah.
Standout track for me is the lead single Spotlight. I love this like moody neo disco that she's doing.
So I have a problem when artists come up with songs that have a title that another artist done a song for, and they have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
So like it's not a cover of Jennifer Hudson's Spotlight,
right?
And that's the only Spotlight I have room for.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And I feel like she could have named Spotlight something else.
Jennifer Hudson or Jessie Ware?
No, Jessie. I mean, Jennifer Hudson did it first, so she's allowed to keep it.
Yeah.
Jessie Ware maybe could have found a different title in there. Yeah, that's I know that's what comes to mind when I first say Spotlight. Erin, do you have a standout track from that album?
The Jessie Ware album?
Yeah.
Well, let me go through my 2020 top songs.
While you do this, instead of editing out this awkward part, I'll just sing the Jeopardy theme in honor of Alex Trebek's passing this year.
Oh, that happened.
Do, 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 do.
If you're going to respect me, you can't laugh.
Yes, I can't. All right, I'm going to give you more of mine. Okay, another one that I love is Remember Where You Are, the last song. It says, the heart of the city is on fire. And it just talks about, like, I don't really know what her song is, but I know that listening to it all summer on Christopher Street Pier and then walking home with a mask on, it felt like the heart of the city was on fire.
Well,
like,
it does.
New York
has
been through a lot. And so that's how I...
But it's not dead.
No, fuck that. No. Did you like Jerry Seinfeld's op-ed?
Yes, I very much liked it.
Okay.
I really got offended when anyone says New York City is dead. And who said it was dead? Oh, the president. Well.
No, he did. Oh, yes, he did. That's the...
Yeah.
Wow. What a dick. I'm so glad we're done with him. There was a call back to Jerry Seinfeld's op-ed, though, that said, like, you probably wrote this in the Hamptons.
Which was very much alive and spreading COVID all summer.
Yeah, also not wrong. But I appreciated the sentiment all the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Spotlight was my top played Jessie Ware.
Mm.
What's Your Pleasure was also up there, too.
Love that. All right, we're taking, like, a moment where I can edit this out because I'm drunk and I can't do two things at once. All right, so moving on. I just want to talk about gifting for a second. Erin painstakingly every year creates the Modern Idler. Oh, fucking A. What do you call yourself?
Do you want to restart that?
I'm gonna leave this in. Every year, Erin painstakingly creates the Modern Otter gift guide. And there's so much love put into them. And they come out so well every year. I really enjoy them. So I just want to talk about gifting for a second. Do you guys have any memories of, like, the weirdest gift you've ever gotten? Or, like, the weirdest gift you've ever given?
My first Christmas gift from Erin's parents was a pen. Like a steampunk pen.
Oh, and steampunk.
Okay. Yeah, it was weird.
We still have it.
I love that. Sure, I get it. Yeah.
And all I just remember is like, first of all, here's the deal. We started seriously dating December 4th, right?
Oh,
and
my God.
We weren't going to do anything for Christmas.
And then you had heart surgery.
Right. So they hadn't really met me. And so they were probably like looking at like the bottom of their drawer, like, what can we re-gift this boy?
Oh, my God. Here it is.
And so I have it.
Oh, my God.
Gave this to me. I'm never going to throw it out.
It looks like a bullet, doesn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. This pen is pretty cool.
So I guarantee it was not cheap. Because some, like, artist in Santa Fe probably made it from
hand. I'm very aware of everything they tried to put in with it, but it is absolutely the weirdest gift I've ever gotten.
I'm not going to say it's not weird.
Yeah. And that was the question. It's not thoughtless. It's thoughtful.
Right.
It's delightful. It's very nice. It is weird.
It's fucking weird, but it's cool.
Yes.
Like, I would put this on my desk. Like,
I sign checks with it. It's cool.
Yeah. It is. Oh, this is a great, like, signing a check pen.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go to, like, a business meeting with this in hand and, like, sign things with it.
No.
Oh, I would.
I couldn't even go you can't even go to airport security with that.
No, so. I know. I like being a little fucking eccentric. I would go to a business meeting with that. It's funny that you say that, because when I try to think back of, like, weird gifts, and my grandma is a bit of a hoarder, so she just has rooms in her house filled with gifts, and when it's Christmas time, she just shops those rooms. So we get really weird shit every year. So many weird things that I can't even remember, like, what she may have given. But my aunt one year gave all of the nieces and nephews, like me and all my cousins, got a wood box of Native American pencils. And that was,
you know, that Ticonderoga is just a pencil brand.
No, these were like bespoke, like from the
reservation
pencils. And I mean, they were cool.
Very cool.
It's fun. Like, as an adult, I look back and I'm like, that was kind of a cool gift. I wouldn't be mad by that. Same as the pen. It's weird, but it's cool. But yeah, that's one that sticks out in my mind.
Our niece also gives us some very interesting presents, because my in-laws will take her to the dollar store and let her pick out whatever weird thing she wants for us.
Yeah.
So I got, like, Gingerbread Man pajama pants.
That's actually adorable.
And I still wore them in a thoughty Instagram post. Like, don't even think I won't.
That's adorable. I love that. Such a gunkle, like, taking those gifted gingerbread man
and
pants.
And thawing it up.
And turning it
into... Rip my shirt up, put my Santa belly out there in a photo, and said, let's do this.
Oh my God, we all have Santa bellies in 2020. Ugh. Thank God. All right. Aaron, what about you?
I, when it came to gifting, I always went through, like, phases. I really pride myself on gifting. I like to give really... I mean, that's why I spent so long on my gift guides.
It's how Aaron shows his love.
Yeah. And I just, I would rather give a gift than receive a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And with my parents,
Thank God.
I went through a phase with my parents of, like, you, when you're a kid, you always give your parents bubble bath and, like, robes and candles, all that shit.
Yeah.
And then you move past that. And my mom, when I was growing up, had an antique store in Bedford, where we lived in Westchester. A couple doors down, there's a liquor store, and two doors down from that, there was like a spa that popped up.
That's a great plaza.
It was at the time.
Right?
It's like a resort on a strip mall.
Yeah.
Well, it was like those two spots were revolving doors, because at one point there were toy stores, and like they were all kinds of things over the years.
What kind of toy stores?
Not that kind of toy store.
Like an F.A.O. Schwartz, you fucking pay.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like 10 or Cable I was
toys.
Probably. Yeah. 9 or 10 years old, walking into a liquor store, getting a coupon for my parents to buy alcohol or wine.
That's adorable.
At the liquor store. And I'd go into the spa next door, and I'd get gift cards for my mom to go to the spa. And I remember I was probably 11 or 12, and I was adamant that I wanted to experience what my mom was experiencing at the spa. So she gave me a gift card to go to the spa and get a massage myself. But I was a kid.
You're like 11 getting a massage?
Yeah. It was my first spa experience ever. I'm like a spa addict now. I like need a massage all the time.
Yes.
But at that time, it was probably really, really, it was really inappropriate. So they brought me into the back room, and I was like, I just only want you to rub my back. I don't want you to rub anything else. I took my shirt off. I didn't take my pants off or anything else.
Probably like some little cargo pants.
They weren't the zip-off zip-off cargo pants.
And someone would like rub your milky body.
Yeah. They probably had the built-in belt on it. Yeah. And some poor woman had to massage my 11-year-old back as a gift because I had a coupon.
Wow. So what did they think when you showed, like, were they like, right, of course, right this way, Mr. Wester, and you're 11? Or were they like,
no. Would you enjoy some hot jasmine tea before we start our treatment?
Completely. Or were they like, we have to check with, like, the government and see if this is even legal.
Where's,
like,
your mother? Yeah, she has to watch.
Yeah. I'm sure they were super suspect at the time, but they were also suspect when I went in and purchased a gift card on my own at that age. But my mom, at 12 years old, would sometimes leave me in the antique store to, like, watch the antique store while she took a break. So I would often ring
for wine or a massage, perhaps.
I don't know. I would ring customers up, though, and, like, calculate the percentage of tax, like, on my little calculator, because we didn't have computers for that. I was just doing it on a calculator, and people were giving me their credit cards, trusting that this 12-year-old was going to ring them up properly for the appropriate tax in the credit card machine. So I was doing a lot at that age. That
Uncle was Sam way wants you. You are amazing. Because let me tell you what happens I'm at my dad's business in my 20s and ring people up. If I can't figure out the tax, they don't have to pay it. That's how it goes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's cash. Okay. My dad runs an auto mechanic business. So it's like oil change. All right. This is $30 and you have a good day, Mr. Smith.
No, I can still tell you. At the time, it was 0.0875 was the tax.
Yeah.
You're going to get charged that, so I'm doing my right thing.
Wow. That's good.
I was a good employee. I was a hard worker even at that age.
Oh my gosh. Always. This will be good when you start your own job.
So I could buy those gift cards at the spa.
He's been doing his own job for like 8 years, but yeah.
No, I said when he starts his own shop.
Oh, I think somebody does his own job. I was like, yeah. Jesus.
Most people do their own job. They don't do other people's job. So did you like your massage at 11? Were you like, this was great?
No,
I've been so stressed out lately.
He had his first wet dream.
Yeah,
no. I was so uncomfortable by the experience. I don't know that I enjoyed it. It's also probably like 30 minutes. It wasn't a thing. But
yeah.
I just wanted to see what it was all about. And I saw. But now it's, what, 20 some odd years later. And now I'm like full-fledged spa addict.
Spa addict. We talked about this the other day because I've never had a massage.
It's mind-boggling to me.
I know. I think it's weird.
If you can't let your body be touched, how are you going to open up your heart?
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
So, like, how does
I don't have a heart anymore.
How does your back survive without being rubbed? Like, it's just pure maintenance at this point from inactivity.
I'm starting a GoFundMe to get Sean a fucking massage.
Okay, and I'm going to take the money that comes in from the GoFundMe to buy a new laptop. So we'll just still skip the massage. No, I need to find a boyfriend that wants to give me a massage.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. What? You're married.
I know. That's why we pay for massages.
Oh, all right. Wow.
I spent the first 3 years of our relationship giving you back massages.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
To be fair, he had open heart surgery, so his, like, back was all fucked up from his chest being cut open. So he, like, needed it as a necessity every single day. But after that, I was like, no, we can afford to get you somebody else to do this. So that's
here's a gift card for a great place in a plaza in Arizona I've heard of.
It's Westchester, Connecticut, New York. I don't know where we are.
Oh, that's when you were in New York.
Oh, yeah. The plaza. I had my first one, yeah.
Got it. It's next door to Bruce's Liquors. And Fayette's Antiques.
It was at the Village Green.
Sponsored by Bruce's Liquor. Yeah.
Crazy Bruce.
Oh.
They're still around, right?
Yeah.
I think Walgreens bought them or something.
Stop.
Like, I feel like they're owned by like a major corporation now.
Aaron and I go in every time we're in Connecticut.
Yeah, because I think I was in Delaware or something weird and they were like a co-branch with...
One of the managers in the Bristol one knows me from when I was like 12. And she's like, Mike, how's it going? Every time I see her, and she's bringing me up for all my alcohol.
So you were at liquor stores at 12 too?
No, but like I was a friend with her son.
Oh, okay.
Like we grew up, we went to like the Boys and Girls Club together.
Got it. Okay.
You weren't buying gift cards for other adults.
No.
Got it. Okay. Do you ever hook up with her son?
No. But I think he might be gay.
Oh my God.
I'll have to do some research.
Let's do some research.
To remember his fucking name.
All right, we need to talk about, since we've all been stuck in our homes, and that's basically all we can fucking do is be in our homes and buy clothes on the internet and eat until we pass out.
And buy new clothes.
And then buy new clothes because we have to size up.
Or you just return them by the time they get to you.
Because they're too small. Yeah.
Fuck.
The only other thing we can really do is watch TV. Mm. So what have you guys been watching nonstop this year in quarantine? What are your...
So we've
binge
done
addictions.
We've done all the top ones. We did The Crown. We did
Queen's Gambit. Loved.
Which has nothing to do with the royal family.
No. Or Gambit from the X-Men.
I don't know what the fuck.
It's about chess. It's fabulous. It's the only thing that's ever made chess interesting, ever.
Sorry for the chess enthusiasts out there.
Okay.
They know it. They stand the show too.
Do we think that there's any chess enthusiast Chanel show crossover? Probably not.
Name yourself if you hear this. We want to see you on the Instagram.
Gamers.
Come forward.
Gay gamers.
Show yourself.
There's plenty of gay gamers on.
All right. Wait, continue. Queen's Gambit. What else? Anything else?
Well, now we're on one that Mike should be the one talking about.
So we're blasting through Mozart in the Jungle because it has cool classical music in it. And Bernadette Peters is in it. I love her.
She looks like she's 35 years old. Like,
if Bernadette Peters' doctor, plastic surgeon, listens to this podcast, please get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Who are you, you mastermind?
Yeah. No, it's all those Dolce & Gabbana dresses that push her tits up to her chin.
But she has a chin and only one of them. And it's as smooth as it's infantile skin. I don't know what she's doing, eating a bowl of stem cells for breakfast every morning.
Yeah, it might be that.
Sucking the youth of small Broadway actors. Whatever she's doing, she looks phenomenal.
She waits at Grand Central for them to arrive. And then she's like, come little children, I'll take
the one bag, one meat.
NYC.
Thank you for your soul and your talent.
NYC from Annie and Come Little Children from Hocus Pocus have never been sung at the same time before.
Yeah, but weirdly enough, Sarah Jessica Parker
is the...
We're very weird. I hope this doesn't get cut out.
No, this is it. This is like prime content.
And I would also like to go on the record to say that my Bernadette Peters voice accent was just as good as Jan's in RuPaul's Drag Race.
Jan did Bernadette Peters?
For Snatch Games, yeah.
I have to watch it again. I have the
worst... And every Gen X, Gen Z, like twink gay that was like, who the fuck is that? And I'm like, they all need to leave. I respect Bernadette.
I do too. I have to... I'm going to rewatch Jen's season now. Mm-hmm.
Mike
because
loves
I have,
Jan.
I
was a huge Jan fan.
Whew, I do too.
I stan Jan.
I do too. I just have a bad memory for RuPaul's Drag Race. Like I get confused all the seasons as if they're one big season, and I always, if somebody talks about someone, I have to go to YouTube and like remind myself.
Yeah.
Mozart in the Jungle, though, is like for the music.
Right.
It's for the music nerds. Like, if you're a Broadway gay, or if you're a classical gay, or like you grew up in the theater, like, I mean, all of us did. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of show. It's made for our demographic.
And it's been off the air for years now, so it's going to end when it ends. Yeah, it's old.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. I get tired of it because it's the only thing we've watched for like a week and a half.
So I like to commit. I like to
finish blasted
the show.
Through
Blast
three seasons.
Right through it. Yeah.
We do that with every show.
Every show.
This one's been a lot because it's been three seasons.
The only show we didn't do this with, which we love, is What We Do in the Shadows, which is filmed documentary style, like The Office, but it's about vampires who live in Staten Island.
Oh my God.
And
that is
so
weird.
Good. And there's different types of vampires. So one of the vampires is an energy vampire, and his job is to suck your energy instead of your blood.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like everyone you hate at work, who's like, that's a really funny thing at the water cooler. Oh, it's, and he's just like weird and like annoying, and he just sucks your energy.
What network is this on?
It's FX, but we watched it
on Hulu. Okay.
Yeah. Taika Waititi is one of the creators of it, which means nothing to you guys because you don't do Marvel. Because
we're not cool enough.
Because you don't do Marvel. That's
no,
it.
We don't.
I like X-Men.
Not the same. Not even the same comic book series.
Do you think you watch like enough like superhero stuff that you ever have like it ever permeates your dreams, Aaron?
Wow, leading question, Sean.
It's as if I host a podcast.
You know what? I don't get jealous because you're an adult and it's just make believe. You should know that. Britney Spears.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sometimes I have dreams. And sometimes they are sexual, and sometimes they happen to be with superheroes.
All right. Do you want to leave it there, or can I push you more?
Oh, okay, fine.
That's all it took.
I had a dream last week where I had an affair, and I remember in the dream feeling it was an affair. It was really inappropriate, and it was with Peter Pan, but like not boy Peter Pan. He was like grown up.
He was a man,
but not Robin Williams.
But it was definitely quarantine Peter Pan. Like he was living with his parents. He was like in the extra bedroom. They had a dock in the back of their house, and it was like underneath the dock. It was very Dick Docky.
How do you know that it was Peter Pan and not just a ginger that lived with his parents?
I just knew for some reason.
I get it. Yeah, in dreams you just knowledge of weird
right.
Things.
Well, you
yeah,
know yeah, somebody yeah. is that person, even yes. though they don't have the same face or body. Yeah, yeah, like yeah. you're like that's clearly.
Was he at least a ginger?
Yeah, I think so.
And you had sex with him under his parents' deck.
Just like BJ's, but it was underneath the dock.
Got it.
Behind his parents' house.
Got it.
And then the next day I saw my husband in the dream, and I was like, I had an affair. I told him in the dream, and then I woke up.
Wait, so the dream is like a soap opera where there's like, you wake up and then you go back to the same dream the next night?
No, Spider-Man.
Or it was all one,
completely different dream.
All one dream, and you just know it was the next day. But it was all one dream.
Yes, all one dream. I just knew it was the next day because it was.
Because it's in your dream, and it's the same way you
knew
it was.
Because the affair happened at sunset underneath the dock. It was a whole like romantic moment.
Oh my God. How did Mike react when he found out you blew Peter Pan?
I don't know. I woke up before.
Did you blow Peter or Peter blew you?
I blew Peter.
And did he have like a ginger bush?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I can't. That wasn't a specific image right. in my mind.
Okay, I understand. And then what happened the next day? In real life, you woke up and then you went to sleep again. You had another dream.
Well, in real life, I woke up and I said, Mike, there's something that's really going to weigh on me if I don't tell you. I had an affair in my dream.
You really said that?
I did, with Peter Pan.
You're so honest.
And
you're
I need
you to you're know. So trustworthy.
The amount of shit that I gave is actually negative.
But I have always had very, very vivid dreams. Like, I'm usually an action hero in my dreams. I'm saving the world. I'm jumping off of buildings. And I usually wake up and I tell Mike, like, this is the amazing dream I just had. You have to know about it. And he's like, I don't give a fuck, but.
And no difference with Peter Pan BJ's under the dock. And right. I was like, okay, great. I was like, was Wendy there too?
Was Wendy there?
No, she wasn't.
Oh my God, she'd be so jealous.
But I think Peter Pan's parents were like throwing a dinner party at the house while it was happening or something.
Wendy was definitely there.
Yeah.
I'll bet her head game is not as strong as yours because gay guys are just braces. Better at this. Yeah. Wendy probably, yeah.
No offense to dick suckers and braces out there.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
I'm
just
sure
cover
master their
lips.
Like,
yeah, cover
lip
with
game.
Your lips.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then did you have any other sex dreams the same week or that was.
I hate that I've told you all this. The following week, I did have a sex dream with my husband. It was a threesome.
That's good. We're getting
with,
better.
Spider-Man, the web slinger.
Did we Eiffel Tower Spider-Man?
I don't know that we did the actual sex act of Eiffel Towering, but we were definitely the ones in control.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Have you Googled any of this to see what it means?
No.
You know you can Google your dreams.
Yes!
And like,
shall I check out what sex with Spider-Man is? Please continue.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you're okay. You're like the fact checker.
But you know they're always gonna say like whatever fictional character it is, it's a part of you or some bullshit.
Yeah. But we're gonna find out. In the meantime, I want to talk about the other thing we've been watching at home. So the other Aaron is like. In addition to being so honest, he has to tell Mike when he cheats on him in his dreams. He's also just so kind to Mike and I to let us sometimes just fall down a musical rabbit hole.
Yes.
I don't know.
I would use the word tolerant.
Yeah, tolerant is a good word. I don't know how, like, I would have burned this house down years ago if I wasn't part of the problem, like if I was the annoying one. But Mike and I love to just get nostalgic about old music. And the other day we put on Divas Live 98 with Mariah, Gloria, Aretha, Carole King, Celine, Shania. And we watched it from beginning to end on YouTube.
Stopped, went back, rewatched something.
It was so good. It was so good.
Long.
And just as they were doing the grand finale, Aaron got up to go to the bathroom. And in a moment that I'm not necessarily proud of, I turned on Divas Live 99. And when Aaron got back, because they both were at the Beacon Theater, we just pretended it was a really long concert.
He was so oblivious.
Yeah.
So not to get on the cross about this, but this is only half the story. So that morning I woke up, Mike woke up at like 6:30 that day. I woke up at 7:45 or something. I'm guessing. And he was playing on his phone YouTube clips of divas singing the last riffs of Broadway songs.
So it's
over and over and over.
It's
again.
An actual Instagram account. If I can give a shout out, because it's brilliant.
Please, yeah.
It's Let's Hear It for the Choice, like, instead of Let's Hear It for the Boys.
Okay.
Let's Hear It for the Choice. And it's about people making very bold, high belt choices, usually in musical theater.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. It's run by a guy named Jimmy, I guess. Let's Hear It for the Choice. Please go. If you're a Broadway fan and just love random Broadway tidbits, they're really great to play in the morning while your husband is getting over a hangover.
Wow, so, Mike, that's brutal.
This was like an hour and a half of it. And it wasn't, you don't like hear the whole song. It's literally just like the last 32 bars.
The climax.
Mm-hmm.
And well, some of them were choice. What you're seeing is the choice that actor, actress has made.
But it was like the same.
I understand.
So I went through that in the morning, and then you two in the evening. Yeah. So I just deserve a medal after all.
I think you do, yeah.
Ugh,
and instead of a medal, we're just going to give you more alcohol. And thank
I'll
you.
Take that also.
And thank you kindly for putting
your
up,
contributions
for putting
society.
Up with us. Yeah.
I also know what I married. Like, of course he's going to play Broadway musicals in the morning.
Married is Sean and I doing dishes at 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming Celine Dion.
That happened one year. He wasn't sleeping. Okay, so I want to move on. This is a new addition to the... I gave them a topics list before we launched into this, and I'm going off. Can we talk about the hero, one of the heroes of 2020? Somebody that I really admire, and I want to shout out on the podcast, and I think you guys will join me. I just want to give a 2020 shout out to my hero and yours, Steve Kornacki.
God bless
I'm surprised that the threesome in Aaron's dream was not Steve Kornacki at this point.
He deserves
he's
it.
He's too sweet, though. I couldn't even imagine him in a threesome.
No, he probably, no.
He'd be too polite. He'd be like, I'm just going to sit on the side and watch.
I think Rachel Maddow put a strap on and give it to Kornacki like
that's
you've never
fair.
Seen.
Oh my god!
Did you see the latest news last week?
No! About Gap!
Yeah!
Yes, please talk about it. I'm excited. That's what just made me add it, because I wanted to talk about that.
I think Steve Kornacki was the light that we needed this year. He was delightful, and he wears Gap chinos, of course he does. And Gap offered to give him a lifetime supply of pants, and he turned it down, but partnered with them to give away like 500 pairs of Kornackis. To a charity that was in need.
I love that. I love, like, whoever works in that marketing department at the Gap, thank God they jumped on that. That was so smart.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, him being such a class act to then be like, actually, let's do this instead.
Well, did you see that video of him, like, realizing he was becoming a internet icon? And was like, thank you so much. I had no idea, because all I've been doing is sitting in the green room drinking Pepsi and, like, doing this job.
Pepsi should give him a lifetime supply, too.
Diet Pepsi or whatever it is.
Oh, I love Pepsi. They
need to be speed at this point.
Oh, my God. Well, the poor guy. I mean, Pepsi, if you drink enough of it, can be like speed. So,
here's for Steve Kornacki.
Yeah. Cheers to Steve. So before we go, I just want to ask us a few, like, reflective 2020 questions, because this has definitely been a year like no fucking other.
Oh.
Has there been anything about, is there anything that you've changed your perspective on because of everything that we've gone through this year? Like, has this year,
we're gonna have a moment,
yeah, get your drink.
Okay.
Is there anything that you have a new perspective on because of everything that you have, like, been through?
So I have a very, like, attitude that when I embrace things in life, it's like, if I want to do something, I just do 100% of everything all the time. Tear it apart, rip it apart, move along, go through, like, chug through and plow through. And it's actually, I realized in 2020 that if I was to try to continue to do that in the circumstances in which I live, it would be physically impossible.
Right.
So I really worked a lot about balance and, like, contributing how much I can to certain compartments of my life, like work, personal life, family, and that kind of stuff. And it's really, really helped me be a lot more level-headed and a little bit more, like, clear and calm, and helping me show up for all those different compartments the best way that I possibly can, instead of just, like, dying on the sword, if you will. So I actually would thank 2020 for that, because if it wasn't for 2020, I probably wouldn't have learned that lesson.
I love that. I hope that somebody can hear that, that's listening, and have a takeaway from that, because I think that that's actually really important. And I think it's not necessarily unique overall, but I think that we go double hard in New York.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I think our pace and the energy we put into our careers and our goals, it's like we turn it up 10 notches and we just go 100 miles an hour. Anytime I leave New York, I have to calm the fuck down, because everyone in whatever town or city I'm visiting is
What's wrong with you, person?
I have to calm myself down.
Karen in the Dallas airport. What is up?
Right, because we're just going 100 miles an hour. Yes. So I think that, like, that is such a thing in general. But I think especially for New Yorkers, we have so many goals all the time.
In multiple planes. I think eventually your circumstances will catch up with you, and that attitude will actually be unsustainable. And will lead to destruction. And the only thing that would have benefited from that attitude in this situation, if I tried to hold on to that kind of pace and mentality, would have been, like, the liquor industry. Like, nothing else would have actually excelled at this point.
Which I have, and I think we all have contributed to greatly this year.
Yes, absolutely.
I got a loyalty program card from our local liquor store, and I am putting the miles on her. Erin, what about you?
I have two. I think this year, sitting down, I really understood what my coping mechanisms were in the past that I didn't identify as coping mechanisms before. But now I have nothing but
coping mechanisms.
Coping mechanisms.
That's all we have left.
When it comes to stress, when it comes to dealing with stress, dealing with cabin fever when you're in the apartment too long. I didn't realize that, like, me crazy cleaning the entire apartment all at once was, like, a coping mechanism that I needed in order to, like, feel value when I wasn't getting it from other places.
How about just going to Mexico?
Or
coping mechanism.
Planning vacations was a coping mechanism when you needed that sense of escapism. Things like that, that we were just used to doing because we could actually go on vacation before, or I could clean the apartment and then leave, or...
Well, we still did all of those things in 2020.
Yeah, but we also were pulled back a lot from what we wanted to be able to do. Like, we would have gone on a lot more trips, and instead I was sitting and staring at the dust in my apartment every single day, going batshit. But it also made me realize, like, what I need in order to feel sustained as a individual. And it's not always just, like, sitting around, and it's not just taking photos or doing my work. I need more than just that. I need to go out and I need to talk to people. I need to see people. And I'm a super introverted person. So the fact that I identify that I need to go out and talk to people or set up meetings or, in this case, just hanging out with our COVID pod of friends became necessities, not just, like, a nice to do.
100% I think that those little things, we valued them so much more this year in the summer when we were able to get together with friends. It was like you really saw, like, the importance in that, because it was such a special occasion compared to, like, the day to day, and we're so busy with work and travel and everything else. It was, you know, now it's like, oh my God, we're really treasuring this. This barbecue with the few people that we got tested with, and that we, you know what I mean? Like, it's been such a crazy year for that. I think we have been so thankful for those moments.
100% But there's still part of me, and this might be ripping a band-aid off. that resents when people are like, wow, 2020 has really made us slow down and appreciate the small things or the things that really matter. Like, that bothers me. Like, there's a pandemic. What really matters is that 300,000 people died. What really matters is that the president was an asshole and caused all those people to die inappropriately or with no reason or cause. And so, like, when people are like, well, gee, like, this silver lining of the pandemic, I'm like, fuck your silver lining. Like, these are the things that we realized, yes, that are important right. to us, and it's really yeah. changed how we think and our viewpoint, and I appreciate and I love that, but I think calling it a silver lining or, like, really, really appreciating the small stuff, like, I just feel like it's a little too, like, live, laugh, love Etsy poster for me.
But if, if you're not taking yeah. away from this year the value of people, like,
who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah, I agree, I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
No, I totally hear what you're saying, Mike. I think that there's... It's kind of like when we were discussing the music earlier, and I said, you know, it's weird to me that there even was new music this year, because music for me is so joyful, and it is, like, how I get through. So I'm thankful it still happened, but it's weird that it happened, because we have, like, basically a 9/11 every day at this point in deaths in this country. And so it's all weird, but, like... Sometimes I think about this year and I think, like, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm not getting this fucking year back. So I have to pull something out of this.
Sure.
Like, because we're not getting it back. We only get to do this time around the sun, you know, this time. Well, around the sun is a year, right? Yeah. We only get this one lifetime is what I'm trying to say, but I'm drunk. So we have to pull some takeaways, but I hear you. You don't want to trivialize it or... make yeah. it, you know, self-righteous. It's a tough balance.
Yeah, I think sometimes the tone that I see on social media is a little ridiculous when it comes to this topic.
Yeah.
But I really do appreciate finding different aspects about you and things that make you better. And I think we collectively have never been thrown something so terrible in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively. I'm sure people have experienced terrible things that are worse than this in their lifetimes. But that's kind of interesting, and it's something that'll mark us the rest of our lives, which I think is really yeah. important.
Yeah.
But again, it's not like, well, we're never going to, I don't know, in 20 years from now, are we going to look back and go, like, remember how much fun it was to be a little bit, like, to learn how to make sourdough starter?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we did the paint by numbers.
Oh, that was we've fun, done, though.
We,
I don't know.
we did a pizza party on Zoom. Like, we've done some cool things.
Mike and I were quarantined with my parents for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
which is a very specific weird circumstance to mm-hmm. be in. I mean, a lot of people have moved back in with their families since the pandemic started, and a lot of them don't get along with their parents or have, like, contentious relationships. And I think we've grown a greater bond with my parents mm-hmm. than we had before. And, like, they're friends of ours now, as opposed to, like, just being my parents.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's
created a different adult dynamic that I didn't have before always.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that's really, you are blessed in that instance. And we are blessed to be able to make that bond with your parents. On the flip side, it's been really hard to see my parents because they're a little bit older than Aaron's parents, and to not be able to see them when we want to and to not be concerned about making them sick as well has really kind of ruined this year for me in a way that I would never even want to talk about on a podcast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I...
What's your thing?
Oh my gosh. All right. This is so shallow.
I was going to sing Shallow.
Go,
I can't be like that lady on the subway.
I think that for me, I think it's body positivity. Like,
oh, that's not like, shallow at all.
For me, like, I've been just drinking and eating through this whole thing because I don't have concerts. I don't have friends. Like, I don't have all the things that, I mean, I have friends, but I can't, we're not going out. I can't go out on the weekend. I can't travel the way I used to. There's so many things that I love. So I've been like drinking and eating like all of us have. And when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, you know what? This body is fine too.
Good for you.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's like, I'm not that like upset about the weight that I've gained necessarily. Like my ass is like the best ass I've ever had in my life. It comes with a little bit of a gut and some love handles too, but like, whatever. Like, I have a great ass now and a great dick and I'll put it on you and fuck it. Like, this is 2020. We had some extra Oreos and we had some extra wine. We're here. We lived. I survived COVID this year. So it's great. You know, it's fine. So mine is shallow. It's body positivity. I'm sure once Pride Month gets closer, I'm going to, you know, double down on my diet plan and I'm just going to go back to being the crazy person I was in 2019. But for this year, you know, maybe I can relax a little bit and just be like, you know what? I'm happy with the body I have.
And I love that. I love that for you because it's also a dichotomy because we talked about like the music that you shouldn't be liking, you feel weird about it. Mm-hmm. But it's a year of body positivity and you still said to me this morning, I wonder which laxatives I should start taking to lose weight. Because you know what? That is, nothing is black and white. It's a little bit of yes and, not either or.
That's what 2020
has taught us. It's a yes and.
We can't leave that in the podcast like that. That's a bit of an inside
joke.
It's a hard cut. It's a bit of an inside joke. I'm going to leave it in. Because I really said it. So, our last question of the night. Assuming that we get a vaccine in 2021, and assuming that we are able to take it, because the New York Times released a brilliant calculator for all the people that are ahead of us, through no fault of their own, because they're essential workers, whether they're in the medical field they are high at risk. Certainly should have it before us. And all of that is going to come before we get back to live concerts and theater. Broadway theater. Assuming we have a vaccine and we are able to all take it by June, which I think is feasible. Unfortunately optimistic, maybe.
But does that mean Pride could be a thing?
I don't know. But what are we most looking forward to in 2021? I'm not going to ask for resolutions because when I go back and listen to the early episodes of the podcast that were recorded in February, they're comical at what we thought this year was going to look like. And same for last year's holiday podcast. So I'm just going to ask us, assuming we have a vaccine and we can move into like something normal, what are you looking forward to next year?
So the first week I'm going to see like 8 Broadway shows.
Yeah. Same.
Like 8 of them. I'm going to see 8. I don't even care what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to scream and I'm going to cheer. And all the out of, like, shape, fat, like, lost their high notes actors who've been doing nothing for a year.
Right.
And I'm going to love you for it because I get it, too. Yeah. And it's going to take some time, I think, for the whole industry to rebound, but I'm going to see 8 Broadway shows. Then that weekend, I'm going to go out to a party. And I don't even know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it's like the Britney Spears Till the World's End video.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except you're the star instead of Britney.
It'll be like that. Yes.
Oh, I miss listening to that at bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the dance floor. Oh, those were good moments.
Yeah. Well, we danced till the world ended, and guess what?
The world ended! Yay! Thanks, Britney! Hashtag free Britney. Erin, do you have one yet? Are you still thinking?
I'm just... I
flee the country.
Travel. I'll go while you're thinking. I'm gonna just piggyback off of Mike's answer. Honestly, having gone, the last concert I saw was Celine Dion at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn in March, about a couple, like maybe 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks even before concerts. That might, her concert that I saw may have been her last concert of that tour. It was really close to the end, and I saw Tina, the musical, on Broadway also. Like, I must have known because I saw a lot of shit at the last minute. But not having seen any live theater or live music since March, I think has done a number on my spirit and my mental health. I don't want to be over dramatic, but I can't say it any less. Like, that is just the truth.
Yep.
So same as you, like, I want to be in a room with other people who love music and love the arts and see people do what they've put a lifetime worth of work and sweat, blood and tears into to bring us their talent. Yeah. It's such an incredible experience to go to a live concert and see musicians and to go to the theater and see musicians and actors and singers. It's one of my favorite things in life. So to have 9 months without that, has been really hard. And to look ahead and think we're still another 6 months at least out from that is hard. Zoom concerts and performances are beautiful and wonderful. I encourage people to support artists whenever they can through GoFundMe and Venmo and whatever it is.
But it's like taking a shower with a raincoat on.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. For sure. It's not the same. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's like my number one thing of all. What about you?
I miss the really simple things in New York City of just going for a glass of wine at an outdoor patio and mm-hmm. people watching in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you can't just grab a glass of wine right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can in this house.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Inside the
yeah.
house.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah. Like, we hardly ever go into Manhattan right now because there's no right. reason to, because there's mm-hmm. nothing to do. So, like, all the reasons that you'd go into Manhattan, which is going to see shows, or even just going to walk around or have a glass of wine or have dinner or have brunch.
Or, like, brunch that turns into dinner.
Right. All those activities that take place outdoors.
You miss
city
Sunday Funday.
I miss all
yeah.
of it. I miss
yeah.
all of it. I miss walking from Soho to Central Park.
Yeah.
I guess I can do that now with a mask, but it's just not the same.
Well, you can't stop for wine.
Yeah, or, like, stop into shops, really. It's just not... Yeah.
You can stop for wine, but... You have to have your mask on
you
at the check-in desk, and then you have to, like, keep your mask on till the table, and then there's the awkward moment where you're not eating yet, but you're at the table, so can you take your mask off now, or should you really wait until
right.
they bring the food so that you can order, and then you must have an appetizer with your wine. You cannot just have the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. I understand what you mean.
And the whole process is risky because
yeah.
you're taking your mask off inside
yeah.
and, like...
Yeah, I just, yeah.
The impromptu-ness of just being able to, like, pop into a cafe.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Oh, happy
yeah.
hour, that sounds delicious. Let's just
yeah.
grab a stool.
Simple yeah. tasks that used to be so casual now have so much anxiety associated with them because
yeah.
of the pandemic.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to flesh that out a little bit because I know that some people listening would be like, well, you can do that now, but it isn't the same.
And,
no.
And you can also listen to concerts, and you can also listen
yeah.
to Britney Spears' Till the World Ends video.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
We have a list with our old roommate, Colin. Shout out to Colin again. Double shout out in this episode.
We have a new roommate coming in next time.
Yeah, we'll see what he's like. it's like a gay movie list, and West Side Story was on it, and we watched West Side Story the other night.
And he was bored.
And he, yes, he I think he was. But we weren't.
No.
And just watching that, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much I miss theater. And then Sarah Bareilles posted like a 5-year anniversary celebration of Waitress. And I watched that.
Oh.
And I didn't realize, again, it's like when you see it, it's like, oof, I didn't realize how much. I did realize, but it just brings it back. Like, wow, this is really missing from my life right now.
It's interesting that you said I miss the theater because I'm starting a playlist on Spotify inspired by you. Called I Miss Theater.
Yes.
And Aaron and I had like a 45-minute conversation yesterday about why I chose the version of America from West Side Story that I chose.
Right. And those are the fun conversations.
Oh my God, it was so nice. I was like, well, what else would I choose? I'm not choosing the movie.
We also
Christ.
Had a few debates because you would choose a different song from a show than what I thought should have been in the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm open to suggestions, podcast world. Any other musical theater gays who listen.
Yeah, look out for that playlist. I will share it on Instagram. We all will share
theater.
It. I miss theater. At M. Georgian or M. underscore Georgian?
I don't know what my Spotify is.
But if you're really missing theater, you can just play that Broadway Belts at 6:30 in the morning.
Let's hear it for the choice.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
That'll bring you right back.
All right. I think that is... I think that's everything we need to say.
Yeah.
Despite, against all odds, we wish you all a great 2021, whatever it brings.
A happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Yes, a merry everything.
Yes. Mike, where can people find more of you?
Oh my gosh. You can find me on my Instagram at M underscore GEORGEN.
And Aaron, where can people find you?
Do you
do Instagram at all? Are you like
occasionally? Yeah, some people have a hard time finding it, but
wow, algorithm, you're a bitch.
It's at the Modern Otter, OTTER. You can also find me at www.themodernotter.com, where my gift guides are live.
Woo! Oh,
check out the
they
gift
are
guides.
So
great.
Good. If you're stumped, they give you like so many great options, and they're broken down by price points. And
I really tried hard to make sure that they were full of small businesses, of
LGBT, queer,
LGBTQ, queer, black owned, POC owned. There's all kinds of options. There's also big box retailers in there because, yeah, they just.
can't avoid it sometimes.
You can't avoid it sometimes. Some of the good gifts come from them. So.
Yeah, but I love that you took the time to like make sure there was a lot of representation this year.
Well, as opposed to doing like one small business guide, just everything should be a small business
guide. It's integrated, and it's broken down by price points, and it's so beautifully curated. So if you don't know what the fuck to get some people, which happens, I mean, that happens. It happens. Definitely check out his gift guides. I love them. And we'll be using them because I don't know what to get people either. I am at Instagram at Sean L. Show. Also on Twitter at Sean L. Show. You can find me on Twitter for the late night edition at SLS_afterhours on Twitter. Ooh. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to give this 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, that'd be great. If you want to follow it, that would be great too, because they'll DM you every time I have a new episode. And I want them to do that so you listen to these fabulous conversations. And we will be back in the new year with some really fucking special guests. So make sure you tune in for that. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye. This Christmas, lights twinkle all around.